Blog Talk Radio.
Here comes the big bad wolf.
Brilliant Ideas Radio Network. It's me, Chef Christo, and it's the Chef Christo Show coming at you. We're coming at you from the kitchen today. Not my normal spot, the couch. I'm actually having to work out of a commercial kitchen today because I've got a job coming up tomorrow, and I had my order delivered, and I had to be there for it so I can get everything going. So there might be some other noises in the background that you might hear. Well, maybe not. But anyway, lovely show plan for you today, I guess. We're going to talk a little bit about what I have to do when I prep for a job. This isn't a really big job. This job is just a cocktail party. It's probably about 20, 25 people or so, which isn't... For me, it's not a huge amount, but on Saturday, I'm sort of in the middle of preps. I have a wedding coming up, and that's a couple hundred people, and that's a decent amount, and that requires a lot of planning, staffing, more planning, and more staffing. It's actually just as much work to do a job for 20, 25 people as it is for 200, because for 20, 25 people, I do it all by myself, and with those larger numbers, I hire other people, so we all seem to do the same amount of work. We're all, you know, share the load sort of stuff. But anyway, for my thing tomorrow, I've got an interesting menu coming up. It's going to be a light supper. So we're not really going to be doing past hors d'oeuvres. It is going to be like a tapas, kind of small plates thing. But we're going to be just kind of setting things out on the table. It's not buffet. It's just a light supper, small plates. And I've come up with this new gazpacho that I make. I don't know if any of you might have seen my kiwi cocktail sauce that I posted for Charbroil recently. You can check that at charbroillive.com if you want to find that. I'll post it on my blog, and you can find the link for it there also, www.alittlebitofcristo.blogspot.com. But I made a kiwi cocktail sauce, but that was a spinoff, actually, of something that I had already been making prior to that, which was my kiwi gazpacho, or what I call a summer gazpacho. And it's absolutely delicious. And the kiwi acts in very much the same way that the tomato does. So it's interesting. And it fools your brain a little bit, too. Because, you know, when you tell somebody gazpacho, you could blindfold them, and they wouldn't know. They would note that there was something tropical, something kind of sweet. But they wouldn't necessarily think that it was green. They would still think that it was red tomato-y gazpacho. Anyway, so one of the things I'm going to be serving is a summer gazpacho. And I make mini crab cakes. If any of you follow me or watch at all, you'll see that I'm constantly posting little mini crab cakes. They're probably about, as large as a checker piece. but they're probably about an inch and a half thick or so. They're just one bite size, pop in your mouth, mini crab cake. I do a mix of crab when I make my crab cake. I like to use a lot of the claw meat, but I also put in a lot of the back fin meat. The claw meat is nice and plump and very crab-like. People see it, you know, they see the big lumps of that lump claw crab meat, lump, you know, that's where you get the word from, the lump crab. But the back fin crab has a lot more flavor. And it's a little more kind of stringy, I guess. So if you just made it out of that, the quality of your crab cake wouldn't look that great. They would taste really good. And actually, they're cheaper to make. But they wouldn't look as good as when you have those big lumps of crab in there. So I just do that, a little bit of lump, a little bit of back fin, some panko, an egg, some parsley, a little scallion. Mix that all together, form these little discs, and I just fry them quickly till they're just a light golden, because then later at the event I'm going to be warming them up in a little convection oven, so they'll take on a little more color. And those are going to be served with a mango chutney that I make. It's just a fresh mango. Very easy to make. I hope everyone's sitting out there with their pencil and paper writing down every single thing that I'm saying, because you never know when I might say something important. And I'm about to with the mango chutney. You take a ripe mango. It doesn't have to be fully ripe, because oftentimes when you go to the store and you get a mango, they're not fully ripe, just like avocados. You got to wait. But you can get one of those mangoes the day that you get it from the store, come home, peel it, take the mango away from the peel and take the mango away from the seed, however you best can do it. Since this isn't a visual show, I can't really show you the best way to do it. But there is a really good and easy way to do it, which is you find the way the seed is growing. It's a flat seed, and it's flat and wide. So you turn it upright, sort of the narrowest blade of the seed is upright, and you slice straight down, and you've got one half of mango. You slice the other side, you have the other half of mango. You can then take your knife and gently go around it, and then you have these two slivers of mango. So now you have a cup of mango, you know, half a mango. It's in the seal. You just take your knife and crisscross it, you know, vertically, horizontally. Now you have a bunch of little cubes, and then you pop it inside out, and it'll look like a little fat little porcupine, a little cube mango porcupine quills, and then you just slice those right off. And then you can chop them up even more. I would make these for my mango chutney into a brunoise, which is a French cooking term for teeny tiny dice. Now, I think you'll agree with me that brunoise sounds a lot better than teeny tiny dice. So you make a little brunoise, which is a teeny tiny dice, and a little lime juice, a little honey, a little red chili powder, a tiny bit of cardamom. And what else do I put in there? I'll put a little bit of once again, a brunoise of jalapeno, a teeny tiny dice of jalapeno, and then you just let that sit, because it's going to then become juicy, and it's going to, some of the liquid will extract from it, and you will end up with somewhat thick, nice little chutney. So you make that a day ahead of time, and then when you serve your crab cakes, you warm them up, and you put just the smallest of little spoonfuls of that on top of each little crab cake. Pop it in your mouth, and there you go. Good to go. Or as the British would say, Bob's your uncle. So next on my menu is the Thai vegetable summer rolls. I think everyone should learn how to make those. They're so easy to make, and they're so fun, and guests just love them, and they're fully vegetarian. They're completely vegan, and they're gluten-free. They're every single thing that people want when they have dietary issues and restrictions. Gluten-free, vegetarian, vegan. They might even be part of the Tea Party. If you really want, like, they could be right wing, left wing. I don't know how political their political stance is, but Thai vegetable summer roll is everything for everyone, except if you eat meat. But you could put shrimp in there if you wanted to. But these are easy. You just get those rice paper sheets. You can find them in most Asian grocery stores. They're white looking, and you have a bowl of warm water nearby, and you have your ingredients. And your ingredients that I like to use are a julienne of carrots, which is another term, French cooking term. Julienne, are you writing that down? G-A-U-L. You can Google that, julienne. A julienne of carrots, a julienne of cucumber, rice vermicelli noodles, Thai basil, or if you can't find Thai basil, just use mint and basil. If you can't get mint and basil, just use basil. If you can't use basil and mint, just use mint, but ideally Thai basil, because it's a lemony, basil-y, different kind of a basil, Thai basil. You can find that in the same Asian grocery store that you buy the rice paper wrappers. So you have to blanch your carrots so that they're not so crispy, crunchy inside of your summer roll. But you blanch the carrots, peel them, cut them into these very thin shoestrings, and then blanch them, let them cool. Then you've got your carrots, you've got your cucumbers, you've got your vermicelli noodles. Vermicelli noodles, quick fat, they cook so fast. Hot water, throw them in, within seconds they're done. The recipes don't call for this. I like to do this. I like to toss them with a little sesame oil when they come out because it just gives that nice little added bonus of flavor. So you put a little sesame oil. So you've got all your ingredients. Here's the tricky part now because you have to work quick. You take your rice paper wrapper. You slip it into the warm water, and you hold it and you feel it. It's going to go from being crispy feeling to pliable, but it's going to change very quickly because it's going to go from crispy feeling to pliable to disintegrating, and that will happen in less than a minute. So you have to hold it in there, and you have to hold it in there, and as soon as it becomes pliable, you pull it out. You have your ingredients. You put a little bit of rice vermicelli noodle down. You put a little bit of cucumber down. You put a little bit of your carrots down, and then you put your Thai basil down. And then you roll it up like a cigar, and you have one done. And you can serve these with a Thai chili sauce or a hoisin sauce. Now, you have a whole tube at this point. Make a bunch of them, depending on your number of guests, and then you slice them into 1.5 or 2 inch pieces, and then they can stand upright, and everyone can see all the beautiful little vegetables in there. And if you wanted to use shrimp, you would roll the shrimp in there too, and you'd have a shrimp Thai vegetable roll with shrimp. Now, to making them look pretty. So if you want them to look a little more consistent, a little more pretty, you arrange your Thai basil first. You put that down in a little bit of however pattern that you want to have it. You can have it overlapping, just sort of off at an angle, 2 or 3 or 4 leaves, depending upon how large they are, so that they go across the span of your rice paper wrapper. Then you put your things on top of that. And in order to keep that consistent, I would put the Thai basil first, then the rice vermicelli noodles, then your vegetables, because the noodles will help hold the Thai in place, hold that basil in place, and it gives it a white sort of a background, sort of pop, and then it also gives a white, like a surrounding area for the vegetables to be sitting in the middle when you cut them. So Thai basil first, rice noodle second, then your vegetables, and then roll it snug like a cigar. Set them to the side. If you're going to be making a number of them, they will stick to things because it's a sticky, sticky rice paper. So you want to put them down on some parchment paper that's been sprayed with a little of those canned vegetable sprays, or if you don't want to use that, you can buy these pumps where you put your own vegetable or olive oil in it, and you pump it up, and you make an aerosol. So just make sure you kind of oil down your paper a little bit so that they don't stick to the paper. And so don't let them touch because they'll stick to each other. So there you go, Thai vegetable summer rolls. I'm going to have to talk to Grillion Ideas and see if we can get this to be a video radio show so I could show you guys how to do these things. Or I could do some video tutorials on this whole sort of thing. But Blog Talk Radio is moving and getting bigger and bigger. We're going to have to become a television station next. I think that's the next step. So all you advertisers out there listening, keep that in mind. Another thing that I'm making for my event tomorrow, which is always a popular favorite, is lobster macaroni and cheese. Lobster mac and cheese is probably the best mac and cheese of the mac and cheeses. And I load it up with lobster when I make it. I make sure that when people have lobster mac and cheese, it's lobster mac and cheese. It's just chock full of big chunks. I don't cut the lobster into tiny little pieces. I leave it big chunks. Everybody gets a big chunk or two in their servings. It's just very decadent, very lobstery, very good. And I have a little trick that I use when I make that also. And that is when I'm removing the lobster meat from all the shells, I use every single bit of it too. I use the claw meat. I use the little claws, the little legs. I'll take a rolling pin and roll those and take out those little spindly parts in there because all of that looks cool later when you put it on. I leave those whole so that people get the little bits and pieces and everything just looks so luscious. So anyway, there's all that juice that's in there, and there's a roe and then the tamale. I hope I'm saying that correctly. It's the lobster liver. I save all that to the side, and then if the roe is pretty firm because it's been boiled, I'll make sure I kind of mush that up and pulverize it quite a bit. And that goes into my roux that I use to make the cheese sauce. So I just boil the noodles in the standard way, get them to a certain point of just al dente, almost to that point where they're right there. They have an extra bite, like sub al dente, not fully, fully al dente, and that sort of, you know, more towards cooked, but a little less towards cooked. Because then they're going to get tossed with this cheese sauce, the hot cheese sauce, and that's going to complete the cooking. And I don't want the pasta to be overcooked even a little bit. So I kind of undercook it so that when I toss it with the cheese, and it sits with that cheese sauce, absorbing more moisture, thus becoming more plump, thus becoming more and more al dente. So I save all those things from the inside. And whatever liquid that comes out at the same time, because, you know, when you crack open that lobster, it's absorbed, you know, some of the liquid from boiling and all that. All that goes into a bowl as I'm doing it, and I'm saving all that. And then that all goes into my roux, and then my cheeses and all the different things. I'll use a cheese blend, depending. I'll, you know, a little bit of some American cheese, some cheddar cheese, white cheddar cheese. Depends on what mood I'm in. I'll use sometimes a little bit of provolone. I just throw two or three different kinds of cheeses in there. It just depends on what the other theme of the party is all about. So this one has a smoked duck quesadilla. It's going to have a little bit of smoked Gouda cheese. I might throw just a tiny hint of that in there just so that'll be a reminiscent of some other thing that they're having. So anyways, I make my cheese sauce, and I keep it all pretty much separate. I know I said I toss all that together, but I don't do that until it's time for the party. So I've got my pasta boiled. I've got my cheese sauce ready. I've got my lobster all peeled and it's separate in a bag. And then we get to the event, and or your guests have arrived at your home. Now you have the pasta at room temperature. You warm up the cheese sauce, nice, get it nice and bubbly. That gets folded into your pasta. Your pasta is now going to get warm from that, and it has lobster flavor. So it's lobster flavor through and through. Then I'll take whatever little raggedy bits of lobster that are around that are not as, you know, uniform and good looking as some of the other pieces that I might have. And all those little raggedy bits get folded in. So there's that throughout. Then on each serving, everyone's going to get a little clump of lobster right on top. I'll put a little bit of toasted breadcrumbs, a spoonful of pasta of mac and cheese, cheesy, lobstery mac and cheese, a few little toasted panko breadcrumbs, and then a nice little dollop, a small handful of lobster meat right on top of each serving, and then maybe a tiny little bit of parsley just for color. And there you go. Lobster mac and cheese. Super good. Super good. Super, super good. I actually can't wait to make it. Problem is, I have a mild allergy to shellfish, and I can't eat so much of it because I hives. Isn't that horrible? Tasty, delicious food like that, I make it so good, and I can't really enjoy it. All right. Well, there we go. Let's move on. What a wonderful show, huh? A menu. A menu of what's happening tomorrow. You know, you guys can call in if there's anybody listening out there. There's a phone number for you to call in. It's Blog Talk Radio. And the phone number is 714-242-5272. And if anybody wants to call in, you can. I'm getting some messages here. So someone asks if they could make a lobster mac and cheese with green chili. And I would say, you know, you probably can if you want to. I would think that those would be flavors that would overwhelm each other. I don't know how well green chili goes with lobster. Doesn't sound right off the bat like something I would want. Like, you know, let me get a nice big lobster and just smother it in green chili. No, red chili either for that matter. I don't think spicy and lobster go together because lobster has such a subtle flavor that's all its own, and chili has its own dominant flavor. But a chili mac and cheese would be excellent. Green chili mac and cheese would be really good. A red chili mac and cheese would be super good. What I would do if I was to make a red chili mac and cheese, a Southwest style mac and cheese, I would do the same thing, boil the pasta, make the red chili, but I would make a lot of cracklins, or as we call them in New Mexico, chicharrones, or as most of my generation calls them, chicharrones, which is just fried pork and fat. So you fry that up nice and crispy. You could just use some of those fried pork rinds if you want, or make some of those. Get your all that together, and instead of using breadcrumbs, crumble up some of those pork rinds or some of those chicharrones over the top of your mac and cheese, your chili mac and cheese, and serve it just like that. You'd have a Southwest-style mac and cheese. That would be an excellent idea. I know I've talked to another person about that before. He suggested it, or he says he makes it. I don't think we talked about using the fried pork rinds, the cracklins, or the chicharrón. That's what I would do to enhance that. If you wanted to make a chili version, green chili would be also good. I wouldn't. I would just use roasted green chili and excuse me, and chop it up with a little garlic and toss that in with the cheese. It'd be like queso fundido. I can't say fundido. Fundido. Fundido, mac and cheese, nacho cheese mac and cheese. There you go, nacho cheese mac and cheese with green chili. I'm also making, back to my menu, smoked duck and apple quesadillas. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen my quesadilla that I make. It's like a little cone. I take the flour tortilla, I grill it, then I form it into the shape of what looks like a little cone, and then I fill it up with my smoked duck and my smoky Gouda cheese, and I serve that with a little bit of green apple and a little guacamole and a little creme fraiche, a little Mexican crema. But they're a beautiful-looking, beautiful little cone of quesadilla. You'll have to check it out. Those you can find also on my blog at www.alittlebitofcristo.blogspot.com. I have an entire post on there of appetizers and amuse-bouche. So if you just went to my blog and you searched amuse-bouche, you would find the entire post where I have probably just about every one of these appetizers showcased there, listed, photographed, and sitting right there for your viewing and food-making pleasure. And if there's any of you want additional instructions, just ask. I don't mind sharing any of this stuff with you. Just ask for a recipe, and I will at some point eventually write it and get it to you. If I don't have it already written, then I can just copy and paste. But if I have to write it down, that might take me a little longer. I'm sort of lackadaisical about that. So we got the smoked duck and apple quesadillas, and we got grilled zucchini and sun-dried tomatoes. Roulade. Easy one to make. Just grill the zucchini, slice it nice and thin, grill it. It gets very pliable. You make a paste out of your sun-dried tomatoes. Put that in between, roll it up, chill them really good, and depends on how big they are, probably slice them so that they're checker size or so, bite size, and you have a delicious, tasty little grilled zucchini with sun-dried tomato roulade appetizer. Hold that together with a few sticks. And, hey, we have a caller. All right. Who's calling in here today?
Good morning. This Hello? Is one of your fans, Valerie, from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Well, hi there, Valerie from Albuquerque, New Mexico. How are you doing today?
Doing great. I always enjoy your show, and I was calling because I appreciate you adding the green chili and red chili to the mix of your food because, you know, here in New Mexico, it's whether we want red or green or both at the same time.
So, right. So I wanted to say that. They call that La Navidad, right? That's Christmas style.
Exactly. I wanted to ask you, I made your kiwi cocktail sauce recently, and it was very yummy. A couple of things I wanted to ask is, one, do you recommend freezing it with the extra sauce that you have? Or number two, can you add the best type of way to grill your shrimp for that cocktail sauce?
Okay. Yes, you can freeze it. It freezes just fine. It probably won't. It might taste okay after you thaw it out, but I haven't frozen it, so I don't know. It could taste even better. It might concentrate. Might be a good thing to try, but you can freeze it, and it'll freeze fine. And then just thaw it out like normal. Bring it back to room temperature. Don't try to thaw it out quickly. Just let it thaw out gradually on its own. And then grilling the shrimp. It depends on how you want to present the shrimp. If you want to skewer them and, you know, have a nice little presentation of skewered shrimp for your guests and you want to take the time to do it, then use two bamboo skewers. You have to soak them so that they don't burn. And you'll want to skewer the shrimp with the two skewers so that they're sort of held together like chopsticks are holding them together. That way they don't spin around and you have more control. You can flip them that way. Or just do what I do, and I just throw them all on there at once and just manage them that way. And then, you know, for my guests, that's what I do. For parties, for work, I skewer them, depending. Not every time, depending.
Well, that's great because I usually use one skewer. So.
you know what? Don't even skewer them. It's really nice if you get a nice martini glass or some sort of a big wide glass. Fill that up with your sauce and then arrange your shrimp around the rim of that glass. But anyway, we're out of time. Thank you, Valerie, for calling in. And I hope we get other callers in the future. That's been another exciting episode of the Christopher's Radio Show, Chef Christo. See you guys next week. Give me some ideas. Bye-bye.
Just when you thought radio was safe. A new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.